Okay, welcome to the Walt Weekly podcast. This is Walter Latham, and we're going to continue with part two of mining gold in West Africa. But I want to back up and just give y'all guys, like, sort of day-to-day, you know, what you can expect. Now, I was based out of Freetown. I used my brother-in-law's office in Freetown. That's the capital of Sierra Leone. And I stayed with him my first couple of years. And he lived in a place called a section, you know, just like you would say, Harlem, which is in Manhattan. He lived at a place in Freetown called Mudungo Town. And it was a very nice place. He had a veranda, you know, he had rooms. You know, mosquitoes were a problem. You know, I could be there for 2 weeks and never get bitten by a mosquito. Then all of a sudden, they hit me and they bite you through your clothes. They could bite you through your athletic socks. They can bite you through your shirt. I mean, you get these big knots on your back. One morning, I asked my brother-in-law, I said, look, Chief, I mean, we used to call each other Chief. Chief, how can you sleep on a couch with no shirt, just in short pants, and not have a mosquito net? You know what he told me? He said, well, two things. One, if they bite me, I'm so drunk, they fly through the wall and die. And the second thing, number two, is that I send them to your room. And I never forget that. I mean, I just cracked up on that. But, yeah, we lived in Mudungo Town, and, you know, he was fortunate enough to have servants over there. And, you know, that's customary, you know, depending on the level of economic status that you're in. And every morning I would have my coffee on the veranda, you know. I wake up in the morning, I open the front door, I would go out because I was an early riser. And I would go out, sit on the veranda, and there was a monkey in a tree in front of his house that I always liked to look at. And try to attempt, well, I would attempt to communicate with it, but, you know, it was just fun seeing a monkey in the tree in front of the house while you're sitting on the veranda. But one morning, I woke up, and my normal routine, open the front door, and go outside on the veranda, sit and wait for the servant to bring my coffee. So when I opened the front door, guess what was standing there? An iguana, at least 4 feet long, looking right at me. And I staggered. Now, one thing about, I mean, the Lathams, I can just say this, is that we don't scream. We go, whoa, you know. That's the first thing that's our immediate reaction verbally. Instead of squealing, we go, whoa, you know, and then take an action, you know, whether it's defensive or run. So that's what I did. I went, whoa, but I staggered backwards. All right? This iguana is standing right in the front door. And one of the servants came, Mr. Walter, what happened? I said, it's iguana. So he came and the iguana took off. But the iguana, and I followed him, the iguana was so heavy that when he crossed, there was a fence, a barrier, a wire fence. And when he went over that fence, the fence bent. That's how big this doggone thing was. Big. And I have never thought of encountering an iguana, you know, while I was in West Africa. You know, snakes, you know, all those other type of animals. And I knew there weren't any lions and tigers and cheetahs. And because all of those were killed out. And you only find them in mid to eastern Africa. But on the West Coast, they've all been, you know, basically extinct on the West Coast. Okay? So, you know, I didn't expect to see an iguana. But I saw my first iguana up close and personal. He was looking right at me. I was less than 3 feet from him. That damn thing scared me, boy. I'm telling you, you know, ain't too many things gonna scare me. You know, but a snake and an alligator. But an iguana? Oh, man, come on. But anyway, you know, I just want to share that with y'all guys because if you do get up the nerve or, you know, you want to undertake an endeavor in West Africa, you know, expect the unexpected and be able to adapt to change, you know what I mean? So anyway, getting back to, you know, my day-to-day, before I would go up to the bush, I would spend time in time in Freetown, you know, getting my dollars together, getting my driver and the car that I would use to go up, and then also, you know, sitting down with my guide to plot and, you know, the plan and our strategy, what we needed in terms of weight, the amount of gold that we would need, and we would go up. All right, so sometimes we would just get a ride on the back of a cow truck that's going upline. And I told you last week, you know, upcountry, upline, up in the bush, same thing, that it's synonymous, okay? Just a matter of semantics. So potato, potato. So with that said, you know, here we go. You know, we plan the trip, but we're going to be gone, and this is where we're going to go. And to go up to the bush with my guide and just me. All right, and I want to tell you a story, and I think I'll tell you about it right now. Muslims, not all, you know, I'm not too familiar with, you know, all of their habits or customs, but over there, the Muslims did not use toilet paper. So if you went to a restroom, you would find a bottle of water, and then you would also find, you know, toilet paper in some of them. But where we went, there was only water, a bottle of water. When you go number two, you would use a bottle of water to clean yourself. And that always puzzled me. I'm saying, okay, you got a bottle of water. What are you going to do after you rinse? But in any case, my guide, Soa, told me that, okay, Ms. Ward, they only have water in the bathrooms, in the toilets. And I'm saying to myself, what the hell? What am I going to do? I mean, we'd get appendicitis from holding that stuff in, you know? But anyway, he was just joking. But I did want to share with you the fact that in some countries, the Muslims, and it could be in all the primary Muslim countries, they use water and maybe a towel or something to dry up. But there was no towel. So we used to stock up on toilet paper. Toilet paper, because when you went to the village, you had to share the communal toilet, where there are just holes in the ground, and you got to make sure that when you go in there, it's dark, and, you know, you go over this hole, and you know. I wasn't doing that. I used to go find my own toilet, and I would find me someplace out in, away from people with my toilet paper, and I would, just like I was a kid when I used to go in the woods down south and do the same thing. But I had toilet paper versus leaves or newspaper. So, I mean, I was a little bit... not accustomed, but I've been there before without being or finding your own toilet outside. So, and I did want to share that with you. And next week's episode, I want to come back with starting at the beginning. You know, we want to start at the beginning of how you would structure a potential venture into Africa, whether that be gold, heavy metals, diamond. You know, what is it that you may want to do? You may want to do your research. And what should you research on? What do you want to do? Do you want the adventure? Do you want to live rugged? Do you want to visit your motherland? And some places, and some people say it's your motherland. For me, I'm from North Carolina, you know. But I wanted to be rich at 35. So that's what prompted me to go there. Because there were no opportunities over here at the time that I could see, but I'm going to be rich at 35. Alrighty then. So we're going to move to part three next week, and we're going to talk about, as I said, you know, what should your back end look like? What type of funding should you seek out? And what should be your business plan? Okay? And above all, what should be the country that you are going to focus on? Whether it be Ghana. Ghana is the number one exporter of gold right now. Sierra Leone, you got the Chinese over there digging gold like, and illegally, the Chinese are digging gold like hell. All right? So, you know, there's some space for us not to do it illegally. It's not all a matter of contact. You got to have contact. You got to do exploratory trips. All right? And then you got to, you know, be credible. You know? And you got to know your business, of course. You got to know your business. All right? But I did want to share that with y'all guys for this week, part two of Mining Gold in West Africa. Okay, and we'll see you next week. Look forward to the next, you know, part three, because I got a lot to share with you guys, and I didn't even get into the rice business yet. All right. I mean, that is a big business because everybody over there eats rice every day. So all their stews and everything is over rice. Okay. That's a major, that's the number one staple, food staple that they need and that they use. All right. So we also want to talk about the rice business. Okay. All right. So with that said, I'll see you next week. And hopefully, guys, one thing, we're going to be celebrating Juneteenth. There's a big event coming up, and we will be pushing that out one day next week. Thank you very much for everything. Thank you for listening to the Walt Weasley. And by the way, we need to be taking, donuts. We need donations. We need donations. And because we want to expand our footprint. And that means we want to at least release video portions of our podcast so that y'all guys can see us and we can do some screenshots and video that's relevant to the topic of the day. We do have some serious subjects that we want to discuss coming up. And number one on the list is this thing about replacement theory. And you know what happened with the congressional investigation into January 6th. I guess a lot of y'all guys watched that, or you didn't, but I knew it all along, all right? We want to do it, replacement theory, because everything boils down to replacement theory. I knew it a long time ago that, this is a white country, and they want to keep it a white-controlled country, and they see a threat to that. So we're going to have a big episode on that, and we're going to take a deep dive into that, because that drives everything. That drives the gun debate. That drives everything. All right? So stick with us. We got a lot coming up. And thank you very much. All right. Bye-bye.